Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, now through your word and by your spirit, we pray that you would teach us. Teach us to be who you want us to be. Mold us, Lord, into your likeness. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 19. Admittedly, Psalm 19 is one of my absolute favorite psalms, and it's one that I just continually return to in my mind because the world reminds me of Psalm 19. We're continuing in our theme this week that God teaches us, and we saw on Sunday that Jesus teaches even the greatest teachers the world has to offer, that Jesus is the master teacher, and Jesus is the wisdom and love of God personified. But God has been teaching us since the creation of the world. And in Psalm 19, the psalmist reminds us that God teaches us in a couple of different ways. So as we look to Psalm 19, we're going to see that God teaches us in amazing ways to make us into the people that he's created us to be. Look with me at Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. First point that I want to give you tonight is this, that God teaches us through general revelation. God teaches us through general revelation. A couple years ago, we had a solar eclipse, and it is the only solar eclipse I've ever been a part of, a complete total solar eclipse. I mean, people traveled from all over the region and even around the world to come and be in this area so they could see totality. They could see the moon pass in front of the sun and totally black out the sun, and it was unbelievable, quite frankly. That moment as the world got dark, and as, you know, lights that are controlled by sunlight started to come on in the middle of the day, and birds started flying in strange ways, and animals started running around, and there was darkness in the midst of the day, and we were all looking up through our approved lenses to see this moment of this miracle. And it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to see the heavens in that moment doing something so strange. And there was this sense of my smallness and God's bigness. I know that's probably not a word, but this sense of God's grandeur and of my insignificance. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork. I mean, you can look out on a clear day and see perhaps a cloud in the sky, or see the sun shining brightly, and you see the glory of God on display. Or perhaps you look out even in the face of bad weather, or you look up into the night sky. I can remember being in Colorado and at nighttime being there on the side of a mountain and looking up. And they have stars in Colorado that we don't have where I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. All those stars are still there. We just can't see them because their light is crowded out by the other lights around. But when you're out in that utter darkness and you look up and you see that the stars aren't like dots, they're so vast and they're spread out before you. Those are moments that make us feel small. And I think God designs those moments to remind us of his reality and then to overwhelm us with his love for us. I mean, can you imagine the notion that the God who created all of that also created you? And the God who keeps all of that going also keeps you going? And the God who lovingly created the world to declare his glory loves you. He really does. So the next time you're looking up into the night sky and you see the stars and you see the moon, you see the heavens declaring the glory of God. The next time you're standing next to the ocean and you see its vastness and you feel so small and insignificant, let your soul proclaim God's glory within you and worship Him there. That's what God created all this for, so that we could see His glory. I mean, the Bible tells us that's what He does in Romans 1, verses 19 and 20. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." In other words, we look around and we see God's glory revealed and God's glory magnified. And, you know, you see it when a baby is born. And my goodness, every time I'm with a family and a baby is born and that miracle happens where a new human being enters the world, every time somebody will look at me and say, "How could you look at the glory of this moment and not believe in the mighty hand of our God?" And I agree. The Bible tells us that God shows us His glory. And what was interesting, during the French Revolution, there's a story that one of the revolutionaries said to a peasant that, "I will soon take down all of your steeples so you can no longer worship your made-up gods." And the peasant replied, "But you cannot help leaving us the stars. The heavens declare the glory of God." When I was in college, one of my favorite professors, Dr. Steve Asmus, is a developmental microbiologist or molecular biologist. I mean, it's unbelievable what he studies. And I asked him, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I said, what does your work do to your faith? And he said, "When I look through the microscope, I see Psalm 19:1. The heavens are declaring, like the creation is declaring the glory of God, even at the most minuscule levels. It's unbelievable to see the hand of God and the glory of God revealed." So that's general revelation. The world can look up and see the grandeur of God and know that He is there. But there's also a different sort of revelation, a revelation whereby God reveals Himself. This is more specific. So look back with me at Psalm 19, now beginning at verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." The second point that I want to give you tonight is this: God teaches us through special revelation. God teaches us through special revelation. So I want to help us understand what's going on right here, this Bible. Notice that whenever I'm preaching, the Bible is open right before me because the authority in the room is the Bible, not me. So all I'm doing is saying, this is what God has said. But keep in mind that this is what God has said. These are the words of Almighty God. It is unbelievable that God has loved us so much that He has chosen to reveal Himself to us. And He reveals Himself to us most plainly in Jesus Christ, but through His Word, He reveals Himself to us and He shows us Christ. We sing that sometimes in Wednesday night worship. Show us Christ. Oh God, reveal Your glory through the preaching of Your Word. It's not that His glory is revealed through the preaching, it's the glory being revealed of God through the preaching of the Word. It's the Word that is the authority. And so God has specifically revealed Himself to us through His Word. That's what we call special revelation. And you know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter recounted a moment when he heard the audible voice of God. And listen to what he said about this. This is 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Isn't it unbelievable? Peter's just come from describing the transfiguration where Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured into his pre-incarnate glory, and he's there speaking with Moses and Elijah, and they hear the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And Peter, even after describing that amazing moment where they heard audibly the voice of God, says, "We have the prophetic word more sure in God's word to us, and we would do well to pay attention to it." The Bible is breathed out by God. This is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever." One of my favorite preachers is a guy named Tommy Nelson, who pastors down in Texas. And he said one time to a group of students at Southern Seminary, he said, "I never got over the notion of a Bible." He said, "I never got over the notion that God would speak to me. God does not owe it to me to speak to me. I don't deserve to hear from God, and yet God has chosen to reveal himself to me and to give me principles and precepts whereby I might find life. He's chosen to reveal to me how I might come to know him through a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. But God has chosen to communicate with us." And Peter tells us that we would do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Well, let me ask you a question. Has this world become a dark place? Man, it really has. Honestly, since Genesis chapter 3, the world has become a dark place. But God has given us his lamp, his light, his word to guide us along and to help us be the kind of people that he wants us to be. Well, let's see how this finishes up. Look with me at verse 12. "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The third point I want to give you is this: God teaches us to humbly worship him. God teaches us to humbly worship him. When we stand before something that makes us feel so small, we are humbled. When we read God's word that he has chosen to reveal himself to us, he is infinite and we are finite, we are humbled. And how do we respond? We worship him. We give him the worship that is due his name, for he is worthy. He is worthy of all glory and honor and power. For he created all things, and by his will they exist and were created. And he created us. He created us that we might know him and that we might make him known. And so the next time you're out and you look up into the night sky and you see the heavens declaring the glory of God, go ahead and declare it with them. That's the thing about we human beings created in the image of Almighty God. We get to choose whether or not we're going to declare the glory of God. The sky is going to declare the glory of God no matter what. The world's going to declare the glory of God no matter what, for it is his handiwork. But the Bible says you also are his handiwork. So as you and I trust and follow Jesus, let's declare the glory of God. Let's declare the glory of God as we worship him. Let's declare the glory of God as we love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's declare the glory of God as we treat people with the kindness and respect and dignity of the creation of God, made in his image, in his likeness, to know him and make him known. And so tonight, as we prepare to head into the rest of this week, I want to invite you to pray with me and let us declare together the glory of our God. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for you. And Lord, we are thankful that you have made yourself known to us and you have made yourself knowable to us. We thank you that through general revelation, we see your grandeur and your majesty. But Lord, we thank you that through special revelation, through your holy word, you tell us how we might know you and how we might be in relationship with you. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you and we worship you and we pray that you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your goodness, to declare the glory of God by the way that we live our lives. Lord, we pray that the world would be able to experience your love through us and see your goodness in our lives. And Lord, as we prepare to go through the rest of this week, yet again we join our hearts and our minds and our voices together to pray the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we'll answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight, and we hope you will join us again on Friday at 6:30 p.m. for Friday night virtual Vespers as we answer the question, is he worthy? He is. Have a good night.